And a happy Wednesday once again. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Chris Buchanani and Scott Giese with you. The Ironhead Jeff Byers on his way to Missouri for that wrestling stuff. You know, that wrestling stuff. And he's suddenly our Dodgers reporter. It's now 5-2 Dodgers.
Yeah. Well,
he's the Dodgers reporter.
Money talks.
He's given up on the Pirates, and now he's following the Dodgers. But, folks, I have no idea. All right, we have some open. Actually, we had such fun chatting in the last segment, we never opened the phones. So we'll have some open phone time later on. All right, lots of things to talk about. Right now, we're going to introduce a guest for this segment. We welcome Frank Magny from the Social Security Administration. And Frank, first off, good morning, and thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I really the message we're going to talk about today is so important. So just the opportunity to do this I really appreciate it.
All right, now, folks, we're gonna jump in our time machine of sorts, and we're gonna go back in time 2 weeks to March 7th, which back then the Social Security Administration was kind of running called Slam the Scam Day. And we actually had Frank scheduled for that day, but then we suddenly discovered our high school wrestling coverage was voluminous for the state championships that weekend, and so we had to do a postponement. So, Frank, we appreciate the two-week delay, if you will, in talking to you. First off, let's start with some background about you. Tell us something about yourself. Where are you based? What do you do for the Social Security Administration and so on? Go right ahead.
Slam the Scam is very timeless. So, 2 weeks later, still the message is still resounding. I am a public affairs specialist, and I'm located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I've had this position about 2 years. Previous to that, I worked in the Lancaster field office, basically frontline employee, manager, working with the public every day. So I definitely have seen the impact of scams as they've evolved over the years and seen these firsthand and how they affect our population. And, as we talk about this, specifically, this is going to be a community approach for us to help everybody, specifically our elderly population, because it's become so rampant. And I'm sure anybody that's listening right now probably has gotten either a phone call, a text, an email that was suspicious, and this subject is affecting basically everybody's lives.
All right. Now you said you're based in Lancaster. We're up here, obviously. It sounds you cover how much ground? Sounds like you cover a lot of ground for your.
Yeah, I do. All of Central Pennsylvania. So I have 26 different field offices. Throughout Central Pennsylvania, support all of them, doing presentations like this, the higher level outreach to community members, stakeholders, partners that work in conjunction with our field offices. Obviously, the Social Security Administration touches the lives of Americans every day, individuals in my position try to coordinate with field offices to enhance this program and make this program work for everybody. So that's kind of what I'm doing each day, coordinating presentations, obviously, participating in events like this. As many people would know, this is good work. And from that standpoint, our program, it does really affect many, many individuals.
Actually, Frank, I think I just saw a story either yesterday or Monday about the population of Pennsylvania, which I think most people realize it's aging. Our state is aging. The population, now certain areas the population's going up, think southeast, the greater Philadelphia, Harrisburg, York, Lancaster, the zone where you are, actually. But a lot of areas where we are, more upstate, population's actually been going down and aging. So does that mean if Pennsylvania is aging more, you have more work to do, I suppose, when it comes to what you do?
We do. What we do, though, really affects individuals in their 60s or so. And we, obviously are completing those retirement applications, the Medicare applications, getting people started with their entitlement. As we'll talk about a little bit with, our segment today, there's not a ton that happens after that fact. However, since these programs are sometimes the primary resource income for our aging population, you know, to your point, what we do each day just affects so many people, and from that standpoint, we can't do enough marketing. We can't be available enough for individuals, because even after they get their benefits, they definitely are going to be concerned with anything related to the Social Security Administration. And that actually does bring us to why these fraud and scammers are successful in getting these individuals on the phone.
All right. Now, again, we were going to have you on 2 weeks ago. March 7th was being called Slam the Scam Day. So I guess we missed the official day. But 2 weeks ago, let's pretend it's March 7th again. I mean, what was the purpose of this promotion or this activity? Or maybe what happened that particular day? Why is Slam the Scam important?
Well, it was done in conjunction with the Federal Trade Commission's National Consumer Protection Week. It was a ton of outreach, trying to have media sources like yourself. It was this consolidation of just how fraud and scam awareness is just so important to everybody. And this was the fifth annual Slam the Scam Day. This problem with scams is becoming so prevalent, and it's increasing every year. And it just keeps on eclipsing, you know, different milestones. In 2023 total, there was $10 billion in money that was scammed out of individuals. In addition to that, we really do. The Social Security Administration is so intricate and so involved with this on many different levels. Number one, we are the agency that the scammers are using predominantly. When they're doing these imposter scams to trick individuals into handing over information or you know, just responding with personal information. So having this annual day really just kind of focuses our attention on this, because this, you know, I would tell you, and I'm sure you agree with this, our cell phones might be going off right now with a DHL notification or something that we're trying to be contacted by an individual that's trying to scam us out of either personal information or resources.
All right. Well, Frank, let's get some examples here, because as again, we were supposed to talk 2 weeks ago, and I was thinking about this subject. I'm thinking, okay, how do you scam somebody when it comes to Social Security? Well, let's get some examples of things that somebody has tried to pull a fast one on somebody. All right. Give us some examples of some of these scams.
Well, 2023 was the first time that the text and email portion of this had eclipsed our phone scams. Up until 2023, phone scams were the most prevalent way that the scammers were trying to reach out to individuals. Still a very, very big deal. These individuals, in certain cases, were able to do a process known as spoofing, which is they're even able to manipulate the caller ID to convince an individual that a local Social Security office or a national Social Security office, but obviously it's not just Social Security, it's IRS. It might be a scammer that's sophisticated enough to know your bank or credit card, something to that effect. So as I'm kind of saying now, you're probably seeing a lot of scams. You're probably getting text messages from people or organizations that you're not used to getting them. Emails, just all trying to convince you to engage with them. And then after that, sometimes you're going to get an individual on the phone, and they're going to leverage fear. They're basically going to play on emotion to get you to act without thinking. The scammers say that there's a problem with your Social Security number or account. They may ask you to give them personal information like your Social Security number or even banking information. They may threaten you with arrest if you don't pay a fine or fee. We even have some imposters that use real Social Security or OIG, that's Office of Inspector General, official names, and send pictures of fabricated government ID badges. Another tactic is they lend legitimacy to scams like citing badge numbers. And then criminals even use fraudulent SSA letterhead to target individuals for money or personal information. So some mailers to a certain degree. So very sophisticated, very evolved over time, and as I talked about earlier, just growing and just exponentially every year.
Frank, I got to wonder, where are these people getting this information to try to scam somebody in the first place? I mean, are they stealing it? Are they getting lucky? You know, they just kind of shoot out at people and so on. How do they know in the first place to try to reach out to like an older person to try to scam them? Where do they get this stuff?
In some cases, it's randomness. It's a numbers game. So they're just canvassing. They're sending thousands or hundreds of thousands of notifications or mailers or whatnot, just trying to hook that individual that it might apply to. So in some cases, they're just randomly saying Social Security is trying to reach out to you. Well, to your point, you know, they know if they're targeting Pennsylvania, they know they're targeting an aging population. They're just trying to find willing individuals that are like, oh my gosh, Social Security is such a big part of my life. I really, really have to respond to this because if my Social Security check stops, this is going to affect me greatly. So there's a certain degree of randomness. The other, you know, tragic part of all of this, and this is why scam awareness is so important, is that many of our information, so specifically to me, previous to being with the federal government, the Social Security Administration, I was actually a veteran. I was in the Army for 7 years. There's been multiple data breaches that have taken place over the years that my information might exist somewhere on the dark web or somewhere out there, so that these imposters will buy, you know, this data to specifically maybe reach out to me and maybe trick me to a degree because they might have a few key pieces of information from me. So it's so darn sophisticated, and it just plays on psychology so much that we really just need to have this awareness that there's just so many parties that are trying to contact us every day. The analogy I always use is that when I was younger, and you know, I'm in my 40s, so I remember when someone used to call our house, they had business with us. Even if they were selling something to us, they still had business with us. Most of the time, when you picked up the phone call, that person on the other end, you know, was a party that you wanted to speak to. You know, fast forward, you know, this 30 years now or so that, you know, in my memory, basically when someone's trying to call you, text you, and potentially email you, and they're from a source that you don't recognize, you basically have to delete and ignore, hang up on, probably 90% of the time. And especially when we're talking about our elderly population, if we're giving them a recommendation right now, we're just going to tell them, do not engage with anybody that's cold calling you, anybody that's just sending you messages out of the blue, because this does impact the way Social Security does do business nowadays. So we are more sophisticated to notify individuals in advance, but just hang up on everybody at this point. If you don't know who they are, just hang up on them, because it's just too prevalent right now.
All right, Frank, we got about 2 minutes till we have to take a break. Where are these people coming from? I mean, you know, if anybody follows news, we hear about Russian hackers, Chinese hackers, other kind of hackers, mm-hmm. you know, and so on. I mean, are these people the bad guys? Are they Americans? Are they foreigners? Are they both? I mean, where are these people? Where are they coming from?
They're just everywhere. They truly, truly are everywhere. To your point, yes, probably more than likely international sources. However, there's got to be, you know, there are individuals domestically, because this is, to a degree, a crime in which they leverage technology, they play the numbers game, and you know, it doesn't involve, the being present for a specific situation by having technology as that proxy. That really just, you know, just limits the exposure that they potentially have when they're doing these, you know, nefarious types of acts. But to your point, you might hear some accents or something to that effect. But we just have to subscribe to the fact that it could be from anywhere, and there's probably just as many domestic sources that are trying to defraud you as there are international sources. You know, bottom line, it's the technology that allows them to access us.
And technology isn't going anywhere, so these folks are going to keep on trying. essentially, right, Frank?
Exponentially. This being the fifth Slam the Scam, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be going at just as hard for Slam the Scam Day next year, because this has just become such a large part of our lives. So I know, you know, you and I have discussed time as far as it's concerned. If you have another segment, I definitely have some more things to discuss with you as how Social Security actually will contact you if we're trying to reach out.
Frank, you're reading my mind. All right, so hold on the phone if you would, please. Again, our guest is Frank Magny from the Social Security Administration. Yeah, folks, we have another thing to worry about. Isn't that wonderful? But if we're proactive, we can stop this stuff. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We're going to pick up that conversation, and we come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
The Fox Ironhead.
The Penn State baseball team dropped a 9-7 contest to St. Bonaventure yesterday at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Matt Maloney tied the game at 6 in the bottom of the 7th with a 3-run double, but the Bonnies came right back and put up 3 in the top of the 8th. JT Marr then had an RBI single in the bottom of the 8th, but there was no further scoring. Penn State falls to 11-7 on the season and will open up Big Ten play with the 3-game series against Michigan starting Friday. Penn State men's basketball guard Ace Baldwin Jr. has been named a second-team All-District 7 selection as chosen by the National Association of Basketball Coaches. Baldwin led the Nittany Lions this past season, averaging 14.2 points, 6 assists, and 2.7 steals per game. Baldwin was also a second-team All-District 4 selection last season when he played for Virginia Commonwealth University.
Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox!
Hey, have you checked out our website, 987thefox.com, our online home for everything The Fox? Click the stream link wherever you are. Information on Let's Talk with recordings from recent shows and interviews. Information on our afternoon regional sports programs and links to all of the great Fox sports shows heard the rest of the day. Check out our Let's Talk blog posts, local high school sports scores, and links to several area news outlets so you're always in the know. 987thefox.com.
Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Beer Belly's Beverage in downtown State College, located at 258 West Hamilton Avenue within the Hamilton Square Shopping Center. At Beer Belly's, they have over 500 beers, including domestics, imports, microbrews, seasonal selections, ciders, and more. Beer Belly's is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Check out our website at beerbellysbeverage.com. Beer Belly's Beverage, 258 West Hamilton Avenue in State College. Beer better, Beer Belly's.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Hi, this is Corey Comfort from Joel Comfort Toyota in State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfort Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelcomfort.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confer family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confer is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
Here's the K2 Roots Foxcast. Variable climate is today. A few showers around. Then later this afternoon into this evening, as it turns colder, there'll be snow flurries. The high today around 45 degrees. As I said, turning colder tonight. In fact, much colder. The low 20. Tomorrow, changeable skies. A few flurries around.
This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7.
Let's Talk for a Wednesday morning. Scott and Chris with you this morning. The Ironhead Jeff Byers will be joining us by phone tomorrow and Friday from Barbecue Land, otherwise known as Kansas City, Missouri. I told him to bring back a doggy bag. I don't know if he's going to.
I don't know if it's going to keep. Just as a heads up.
I don't care. It's Kansas City, Kansas City barbecue. I don't care. We have an open segment later on in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. Right now we're talking with Frank Magny of the Social Security Administration about Social Security scams, which are maddening, daggone it, and unfortunately going up. Chris, you had a question. Why don't you go right ahead?
Yeah, Frank, and we appreciate you being here with us and sharing this information with our audience. I know a lot of these scams, and I mean, they're all over the place. They're disproportionately targeting senior population. They're tricky, and some are very sophisticated. For anybody who might end up being a target of one of these scams, or has a friend or a relative who could end up being a potential target, could you give us a couple examples of what are some specific markers people can look for to tip them off that they might be targeted by a scammer?
So true to this is that these individuals are going to be getting information from you. So, as I told you, I worked in the field office for many years, and I feel like many people hang up the phone, and in the first moment after hanging up the phone, they go, "Oh my gosh, I just got scammed," because of just how these scams are built to leverage fear and how they've built their scripts so that, you know, they play upon psychology. But to your point, a marker would be if they've, are asking you for the personal information and trying to get that from you. The other one is that when they're trying to use cash, gift cards, wire transferred, prepaid debit cards. So these situations where they're asking you to send money or maybe even participate in like a financial scheme. I have to tell you, anecdotally, I've heard of scams that are so sophisticated that they are able to deposit money into people's accounts to kind of lure them into this false sense of security. So the money shows up in their account and they're like, "Oh my gosh." And then the scam is to leverage a fee out of them, send money via, you know, cash, gift cards, wire transfers, and things of that sort. And then when they go back to look at the account, the money's gone. So you just can't underestimate how sophisticated, how pushy, how good they are at just kind of tricking people into doing what they wouldn't do otherwise.
Frank, actually, let's back up a step of sorts. If the Social Security Administration was legitimately trying to reach me for something, a question, a problem, I don't know, something, and it's legit, it's from the Social Security Administration, how would they reach me? Would they reach me in all those different ways, or are there specific ways that they would do to reach a citizen?
Thank you, Scott, because that's why I wanted to come back on this segment. And this is why Social Security is so involved with scam and fraud awareness because Social Security employees do occasionally contact people, generally those that have ongoing business with the agency, by telephone for business purposes. We still have to use the telephone, and in the environment that we work with, especially with the elderly population, we don't need to necessarily have them come into the field office. That can't be a good thing in certain cases. Generally, the agency calls people who have recently applied for Social Security benefits. So if you have some business with us, you might get a phone call from us. And sometimes the caller ID doesn't do a good job of identifying us as the official source. If a person's already receiving payments and require an update to the record, a person who has requested a phone call from the agency, if a person is not in one of these situations, they generally normally would not receive a call from the agency. So let me just add some qualifiers there. If you're getting a disability benefits from Social Security, we very commonly follow up with you. But when we do so by mail. Individuals that are receiving retirement, so we're going back to our Pennsylvania population, our elderly population, we very, very rarely will reach out to this population. So, to that effect, if you haven't been in contact with us and you had not, maybe spoken to us within the last year or so, don't have a pending application, so on and so forth, we generally aren't going to cold call you. We will send letters in advance. But I just want to tell you what we won't do. This is something we will not do. We will not tell you that your Social Security number has been suspended. We don't use language in that way. And Social Security numbers, how they function, really don't have, we don't have the button to say suspend a Social Security number. Whereas, you know, you can't use your Social Security number to go open a bank account or a credit card or something to that effect. We will not contact you and demand immediate payment. That first phone call will not be, you need to give us money right now. You know, and as I told you about those dubious cash, gift cards, wire transfers. We do not ask for credit or debit card numbers over the phone. Not a single situation in which, other than during an application maybe where we're setting up direct deposit, we're not going to be cold calling you and asking you for credit or debit information. We don't require a specific means of debt repayment like prepaid debit cards, retail gift cards, or cash. We do not demand you pay Social Security debt without the ability to appeal the amounts you owe. So once again, if this is an overpayment situation, you're getting letters, and even within those letters, you have your due process. You're able to get your time with a Social Security employee to explain why you might necessarily owe this money. It takes place in terms of weeks and months. It does not take place in a singular cold call, phone call from the Social Security Administration. And then no one from the Social Security Administration is going to cold call you and promise a Social Security benefit approval, an increase, or in exchange for some type of information or money. So that's one of these scams that really do kind of get the wheels turning. Oh my gosh, this guy can really increase my Social Security benefit by just me handing over some of this, or maybe me paying him a fee. No, we don't do that. So if there is a problem with the person's Social Security number or record, in most cases, Social Security will mail a letter. If a person needs to submit payments to Social Security, the agency will send a letter with instructions and payment options. People should never provide information or payment over the phone or internet unless they are certain on who is receiving it.
Yeah, earlier, Frank, now, you mentioned the bad guys, phone calls, emails, texts now. Yeah, you didn't mention mail. The bad guys never use mail at all?
Oh,
like good old-fashioned snail mail.
They definitely do. And they spoof the mail, too. They use our letterhead. They use our logos. They use all of those particular functions. A call into our national 1-800 number, 1-800-772-1213, or to your local field office, which I always recommend, contact with local field offices. Local field offices are available 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. We'll clear up any type of mail that we potentially have sent to them. But to your point, yes, the junk mail, that might have been honestly where a lot of this had started, is just as prevalent as phone calls and text and emails.
All right, let's kind of reiterate something a little bit. You might have mentioned this about a minute or two ago. If the Social Security Administration is reaching out to me for something, I mean, what? I mean, I guess I'm wondering, why would there be some kind of problem? My Social Security number didn't change. That's the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, why would the Social Security Administration reach out to me in the first place?
Well, Scott, you talked about the fact that you're in the pre-retirement situation. You and I had that conversation previously.
means I'm officially old, folks. So there we go. Go ahead, Fred. I'm sorry.
So with that in mind, if you're not getting benefits from us, we're not cold calling you at all. Okay. If you are getting benefits from us, a disability benefit, for example, we do periodically follow up with individuals. We conduct, continuing disability reviews. So if you've been approved for disability previously, we might reach back out to you, over a specific time period. If you're getting certain needs-based programs, we might be reaching back out to you to review the financial information behind that. So the nice part about that is that you've already had previous contact with the agency. So you might, recognize, our letterheads at that point. You've already been through a couple interactions with us. But once again, you're out there in the general public. You haven't, other than maybe signing up for a Social Security credential via login.gov, we're not reaching out to you. We're not suspending your benefits. We're not suspending your number, those things. So if you haven't started a benefit and someone's calling you about Social Security and all that other good stuff, that's an easy hang-up. Like I said before, the leverage point there is finding the people that are getting the Social Security, convincing them that they are the Social Security Administration, and then, you know, kind of playing on that fear that benefit that person gets every month that pays their you know, all of their bills and things of that sort. Those are the leverage points that they really try to find. So I do like the fact that if a person's already getting benefits, they've seen our letters previously, they've been through that process before, they've talked to our employees, they see that we're not pushy, it's not a boiler room type situation where we're trying to get information as soon as possible. We're public servants. We work for you. And whenever we conduct business with individuals, all of our employees here would do so in that way, you know, and a public servant type of scenario. So we're not aggressive, and we're not threatening. This is a program that belongs to everybody, and many people do this profession work for the Social Security Administration because they enjoy serving the public.
All right, now, true story, not involving Social Security. A couple days ago, I get an email from state government in Harrisburg about voter registration. And I remember I looked at this email, I'm like, this one looks shady. This one I'm wondering. So, Frank, if somebody's listening to us this morning, and let's say today they get some message, a phone call, an email, a text or something about Social Security, and it's like, boy, I don't know. What should they do? They get a message, and they're just not sure about this one. What should they do?
If you're not getting benefits, if you're in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, not getting benefits currently, that's an easy pass. That's an easy delete. And, you know, younger individuals are more apt to kind of, you know, identify these situations. If you're in an application process, applying for disability benefits, it can be, anywhere from, 4 to 6 months. If you're actively engaged with the Social Security Administration, you should be on the lookout because we might be following up with you. There's generally different questions that the disability examiners might have. They might be setting up an additional appointment for you. You might be getting a letter, regarding the decision. You might be approved, and we might be setting up a different appointment with you. So you should be on the lookout for mailers, calls, so on and so forth. And sometimes that even comes from Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry because they are the entity that helps us make those disability decisions. If you are getting benefits and they really are going to keep you up at night, then I would recommend reaching out to the agency and just ensuring that everything's okay, because sometimes in those cases it's a matter of, well, are they changing information on my record? So, they could do it two different ways. They can obviously contact the field office. A public servant's going to get you on the phone. They're going to, treat our elderly population with dignity and respect, and just assure them that nothing's been changed as far as banking information and address information. Well, the other thing I do recommend is for individuals that had not signed up for a My Social Security account, and this is done via login.gov, maybe to ask a younger family member if they're not comfortable with the process to set, those credentials up so that they can access our website, ssa.gov, because what's nice about our online services is that can also be, number one, a preventive tool, but number two, it can be a monitoring tool so they always know that nothing's affecting them on their record. But we do get plenty of phone calls, we do get plenty, and that's honestly why the Social Security Administration has a field office in the local area, because we are servicing you, and to that effect, don't stay up at night thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to get my next Social Security number or my next Social Security check? A quick phone call will reassure you that everything is fine with your benefits. They're going to come when they specifically come, and that's more times than not, that's probably going to be about 20 to 30 minutes. When I talk about interacting with our agency, sometimes you have to counter the psychology to a degree. You want to try to contact us, not first thing on Monday, maybe late in the day, late in the week, late in the month. More times than not, especially here in Central Pennsylvania, with the field offices that I service, we do a really good job of getting answering the phones, Not a ton of time on hold, and you probably get the reassurance that you need probably within 20 to 30 minutes.
All right, Frank, we actually have less than 30 seconds left. Bad news situation. Somebody bites on a scam. Do they have any kind of recourse to fix the problem after they've been fooled? Or is it just, forget it, the scammers win?
Nope. Highly recommend the Federal Trade Commission, which is another federal agency, identitytheft.gov. There's lots of services, and it's dynamic. You can come up with a plan. There's lots of educational pieces to that. They can provide you affidavits and letters that you can send to credit reporting agencies, but they can basically walk you through the process of recovering everything.
Frank, I tell you what, a lot of great, valuable information. We appreciate your time today. Good luck fighting these bad guys, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really, really appreciate it.